round of applause for Lydia. Thank you very much. It's not that easy being on stage, and so thank you for doing something new right off the bat. Good morning. It was International Women's Day on Friday, I guess. So happy International Women's Day, belated for all the ladies. We celebrate you. We are proud of you. This community has had very, very strong women standing with us. Everything you see is because we have had very strong women in leadership and in service. So we do celebrate you. You know, many times people ask me, so do we start the celebration at 10:15? So usually we call this a celebration rather than calling it a service, because what we hope is that then you go out there and serve, and then we come together and celebrate. So usually people ask, so do we start the celebration at 10:15? And I go, no, we start at 10. The first 15 minutes are for tea, and that's part of our celebration. Get to know each other, get a cup of chai or coffee, and I have started to notice that some people have realized, okay, they don't serve us anything else, so I'm just going to come with my escort. Well, that might translate differently. With my mandazi or cake, so that's good too. But yeah, so that first 15 minutes is part of our worship. It's part of our worship. Now, if you paid any attention at the tea area, you've probably seen that the counter has a blackboard with our values on it. You know, we're on this journey for a couple of weeks of trying to discern together who God is calling this community to be. And so one of the values you'll see out there is that we trust God for everything. And that's, you know, we're talking about our DNA. Who are we called to be? And that's how it's going to express ourselves. We trust God for everything. And that's because in our DNA is this thing that we are called to be a kingdom of God church. We are called to be a church of the kingdom of God. That's what I want us to talk about today. So I'm going to pray as we start. But if you forget anything, just remember this. We trust God for everything. So you're good, you can go home, but just, you know, hang in there. I still have some time on me. So Lord, come and have your way. Form your heart in us. But even more, give us boldness to trust you for everything and reach out to the world around us. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. So Jesus was teaching his disciples one day, and he was talking about materialism, you know, things that we desire in the world. And he said to them, for you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. And you know, we want to be that kind of church. We want to be the church where people find God. We strongly believe that life is incomplete without being found by God. I mean, hasn't humanity tried for generations? And look at what a mess we've made of ourselves. I strongly believe that we were wired for God. I strongly believe that God is pursuing us persistently. And so we want to be a community where people find God. And that means we want to be a community of the kingdom of God, that where God is present, where his presence is all we are about. So we take seriously this invitation by Jesus to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what we want to be about. But then, what is the kingdom of God? See, words can mean a lot of things. So what is the kingdom of God, especially as we understand it here at Trinity? The kingdom of God is not about a physical place. See, I think when sometimes when people talk, they talk about going away to heaven, and for us here, the kingdom of God is not somewhere we will one day go to. Our hope as a community is not that one day we'll be snatched out of this place and go somewhere else. Our hope as a community is God's reign. The kingdom of God is is the effective reign of God. It's when God is king. So that's what it is for us. And the reign of God comes with God's justice. So it's not just a place, and it covers both a place and time, and as long as God reigns, that is the kingdom of God. Wherever, whenever, that is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God comes with God's justice. His reign comes with his life, everlasting life, where death loses its sting. Where our bodies are not failing anymore. Where we don't have to say goodbye to people when they're very young. The kingdom of God comes with his wholeness, no fear, no darkness. We can stand boldly. We can be who we were meant to be. The kingdom of God comes with forgiveness. His reign, the kingdom of God, comes with God's power. The power over darkness, the power over fear, the power over every spiritual and physical principalities. So it's not about a physical place. Our hope as a community is not to go away somewhere. Our hope is to see God's reign here and now and forever after. So we're starting here and now, even with hope for forever after. So us seeking the kingdom of God, seeking first the kingdom of God, us seeking to be a community of the kingdom of God is really about us seeking to see in our lives that everything is joyfully submitted to the reign of God. Everything is joyfully submitted to the reign of Jesus Christ. Our beings, our world, our health, our relationships, everything being fully submitted to the justice, to the life, and to the power of God. Which means that us being a church of the kingdom of God means we will have no choice. We have to be drawn into a place where we trust God for everything. Everything. So this is what some of this means. Trusting God for everything. Being a church of the kingdom of God means, one, we will seek to see God's justice here on earth. You know, when we pray or sing songs like, God, let your kingdom come here on earth. Effectively, we are saying, Lord, let your justice come here on earth. See, the thing about a king is that he sets the rules. He decides how things are done in his kingdom. And if things are not done as he sets the rules, then that's not just. So when we ask that, God, let your kingdom come here on earth, we effectively are asking, Lord, let your justice be done here on earth. Because God is judge. Jesus is king. Now, the idea of God's judgment sometimes has over time been seen as something to cause fear and something not to look forward to. But you see, that's not what I'm inviting you to, because the Spirit of God doesn't cause fear. You see, justice is when things are set right. If you went to a court of law and someone had the plaintiff was indeed done wrong to, then justice is served when things are set right. So when God is bringing his justice, it's something to look forward to, because he's coming to set things right. He's coming for all of us. Our king will come. Our God will come. He's going to set all things right. And I think this is why in the book of Psalms, the psalmist draws a picture of God coming to judge. And he says, let all the earth rejoice, because God is coming to judge the world. We should be celebrating and expecting. Why? Because finally things will be set right. That everything that had gone wrong because of the brokenness of sin and the brokenness of man will be restored. That's what I'm looking forward to. So when Jesus, who was king of the kingdom, shows up in the scene, this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. Sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. This was a declaration of God's kingdom come down to earth. Jesus was standing before people, and as the king of the kingdom, he's saying, this is what it means for God's kingdom to come to earth. In other words, God's justice, and being a church that will seek to see God's justice, means we're not just going to pray for God's justice. We're going to join God in acting. It's not just about praying for the poor. It's about declaring it and joining God in that action. Being a church that will look to see God's justice means we are anticipating it, we are praying for it, and we're staying ready for God to use us to bring justice here on earth. See, to be a church of the kingdom is to have the heart of Jesus formed inside us. The heart of the man who stood in front of a crowd and said, this is what I'm about. I'm going to bring good news to the poor. I'm going to set the captives free. I'm going to bring sight to the blind. When his heart is formed inside us, we will have mercy and compassion that will move us to action. Because every time Jesus was moved to action by his compassion. And to be a church of the kingdom of God means that is who we will become. Full of mercy, full of compassion, and we couldn't stay silent. We couldn't not join God. We have to be declaring that this is the year of God to act. So when we see the broken, the oppressed, those treated unfairly, the least in our society, the widow, that tribe that people don't like too much, that neglected race, the stranger, the immigrant, when we see them, our heart is moved to action because the heart of Jesus is formed inside us. The good news we speak has to be good news to the poor. It has to be. Then it's not good news. Because Jesus says he's come to declare good news to the poor. Now, we acknowledge as a community that the brokenness of men and sin itself has led us into systems that produce inequality. All over the world, there's this inequality. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge that the powers of darkness and the brokenness of men together just produce inequality. But if we believe that we're being invited into the kingdom where there is good news, then we actually believe that we have good news for the poor, for the neglected. And we cannot stay silent. So we're not just going to pray about it. We're going to ask God, where can we move to action? Where can we move to action? So we want to seek not to just occasionally give. That's not the thing. That's something else. Sometimes people do that just to make themselves feel good. We want this to be who we are. Not to occasionally give. Or give so that we get rid of the problem. If I give him this, he will never show up. No, we want this to be us. We want to form a relationship with people who are in positions of need, people who are weak. We want to form relationships so that even if there was nothing to give them that day, they know we are their friends. We want to be there for them. We want to live generously, not just financially, but also with our time. Because God's justice has come. Because we're being invited into God's kingdom, which is a kingdom of God's justice. We long to see that become who we are, both corporately and individually. So the things we do as a community, but I hope and I encourage you, even when you go home on the streets, that's who you are. So it's not, okay, I'm going to shift this generosity thing to the church, so I'm going to give to the church and I hope they give. No. It's who we are, both individually and corporately. So we celebrate those of you who are running organizations that are going to the weak. We celebrate our relationship with you guys. I celebrate those of you who give to these organizations, who give to the poor, who go and stand with the weak, who say, I will not stay silent, because it is in these relationships that we will meet Jesus. You know, it's funny. I always wondered, why would Jesus say, when I was weak, you did, you know, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was sick, you didn't take care of me. And these guys were like, wait, Lord, we would never ignore you. And Jesus said, well, when you ignored those who are around you, you were ignoring me. And it hit me. That's because every time we're invited to stand with the weak, the poor, We're invited to sit with Jesus. That's where we're going to meet him. That's where we're going to be transformed. So that's what we want to be. And sometimes people have an argument against that. They say, well, but they didn't work too hard. What problem of mine is it? Well, but if I give them this, what am I left with? It's not my fault. And all these things, and sometimes it feels right. Sometimes it makes economic sense. I see, you know, I'm looking at global politics, and there's just this uprising of keep them away. They don't belong to us, and it's not our fault. We shouldn't care for them. And it almost makes economic sense. And I'm a trained economist, so sometimes I go, oh, wow, yeah, I see why they shouldn't help them. But that's not the heart of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to bring good news to the poor and to set the captives free. So then what do we do? If we're going to be a church of the kingdom, a church of God's justice, we'll trust God with everything. Even when it feels like we're being taken advantage of. Hey, they took 2 bags of food. It's okay. We'll have food out there again. Hey, he said he needed, and quite frankly, he didn't need. It's okay. If, as long as God remains our provider, which he promises to remain, we will give generously, even when we're being taken advantage of. Why? Because we trust God with everything. We will not stop. We will not stay silent. So we choose not to look away from the poor. We choose to stand against racism, tribalism, sexism, injustice of any kind. We choose to stand for the justice of the kingdom of God. To be a church of the kingdom of God will mean to love the entire body of Christ. We are under no impression that we are the kingdom of God. No, we are not. We're just a tiny expression of what God is doing in this city. We're just a tiny expression. And so we celebrate being that. And we are under no impression that we are it. No, we've just been invited to be part of what God is doing here. So in the very same way God shows up when we gather here, we fully believe he's showing up elsewhere where his children are gathering, and so we bless them. So we're not working against any other church. We're not trying to pull down any churches. We're not going, oh, look at them. If only they could do this. If only they had a George. If only they had a Michael. That's not our business. Our business is to step into where God is calling us and bless the entire body of Christ. So when we see the rest of the body of Christ, we celebrate what God is doing with them, and we ask, hey, can we take a piece of that? Because God has blessed them with something we don't have. So we go, hey, can we take a piece of that? And then we invite them, come, maybe there's something at our table that you want. Come and take for free. Leave out the mess that you don't. I'm glad you are. Just stick around. It gets better. Okay. So, where was I? On stage. Oh, yeah. I lost it, guys. Hey. So, what? Yes, thank you, Wilco. You want to come and preach the rest of the sermon too? Anyway, so we want to invite the rest of the body of Christ, come and take what is at our table that you need. Leave the mess, because we have a lot of mess going on here, okay? Just like they have a lot of mess going on there. So let them come and take what is healthy and go with it. So we celebrate the entire body of Christ. Why? Because there's not this church and that church. There's only one church, the body of Christ. So we are standing together with the Catholic Church right up the street from us, and the Evangelical Church right down from them, and the Anglican Church right in town, and the Presbyterian churches around Nakuru. We're standing with the body of Christ, and we bless them. And so when you come here, we're not seeking to convert you to the vineyard. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about the vineyard. We're not seeking to say, hey, when are you going to denounce your Presbyterian roots? That's not the business. We're in the business of the kingdom. So what we want is to journey with you where God is inviting you. Because you're journeying with us too. That's what we invited to. What the Holy Spirit invites you to do, that's between you and Him. And sometimes, during our connect sessions, some people ask me, are we really blessing that church too? Yes. Because to be a church of the kingdom is to love the entire body of Christ. And the only way we will love the entire body of Christ is by trusting God for everything. Trusting that God is with them in their mess, or what we think is a mess, just as He is with us here in our mess. Trusting that God is sorting things out. Do you know what? He's been sorting things out in the church since the church began. So we're in safe hands. The kingdom of God is about the reign of God. And to be a church of the kingdom of God is to be a church that will long to see the display of God's power. I'm tired of doing life as if God doesn't care, as if God doesn't break into our story. He's been breaking into our story long before our story began. That's how our story started, right? We want to be the church that will be filled with expectation. What is God doing here and now? What is God saying here and now? Hey, can I pray for you right now? Hey, how are you doing? We prayed for you. Are you okay now? We're looking for God's power to break through. So we pray for cancer. Just as much as we pray for the healing of the soul and a broken heart. We're not just going to be in places that demand no faith from us. We pray for the healing of mental illness just as much as we pray that we will sit with Jesus in heaven. We will not be comfortable in the places that require us to have no faith at all. We will not stay there. So we want to be the people who make bold prayers. So last week, a lady walks in and she's got pain in her chest and she couldn't take deep breaths. Two of us go over to her. And also, she also needed her rent paid. And two of us go over to her and we say, okay, let's pray about your pain. And as is our culture, we'll immediately ask. We'll make a prayer. God, release her from pain. And we go, hey, how are you feeling right now? Is it still there? Has it decreased? Has it gone away completely? Why are we doing that? Because we are expecting God to move. We're a church that seeks to see the display of God's power. So we will make such bold prayers. So the first time we told her, please be honest with us. You know, it's not our deal. So if it's there, it's there. If it's gone, it's gone. So the first time she said, yeah, it's actually still there. Say, okay, we'll pray again. It's kind of awkward to keep praying for someone. You're like, we'll pray again. How are you feeling now? I can breathe, but I still can't go to... Okay, we'll pray again. And then she just starts crying. It's like, what's happening? I can breathe. And that's the kind of church we want to be. We will step into those places where we have nothing else but to make bold prayers. See, it's unfortunate that some of us, when you tell them, oh man, I'm going through this and I'm going through that, the closest you will get to a prayer is, I will pray for you, my friend. And that's it. That's the much they've prayed for you. Thank you. I actually have written it down as a joke. But you see, it's this place of people have stopped living lives that are bold. People have stopped expecting God to move to a point that we don't even want to pray. Why? Because we just aren't going to that place of the kingdom of God where we expect God's power to be displayed. So we've settled down for praying for meals because, you know, you've been having food cooked by your spouse for so many years and she's never yet poisoned you. So you might as well pray for the meal. You don't expect anything wrong to go on. So we settle for praying for journey mercies, because you've been going Nakuru, Nairobi, and you've never quite, nothing has ever happened. And so you kind of expect that that will be the same thing. So we settle for places where no faith is demanded of us. We settle for praying for colds, because you always have a cold in this season of the year. And then you think, well, I can say, Jesus, heal me, and then I can go for some home remedies, and I'll be fine. It only takes 2 weeks. Why? We have to step into that place where we expect the display of God's power. So we want to be the church that prays boldly. We want to be the church that steps into places where if God doesn't go with us, we will be... That's not the word I want to use, not, at least not on stage. We'll be in a bad place. We want to be the church that worships passionately. Why? Because when the band is up here, and when we're there during tea, and when we're journaling, and you know, some people will be seated, some people will have their hands raised, some people will just be standing, we will worship so passionately because we actually expect that God will meet us in our worship. For us, it's not just music, it's not just lyrics. We are expecting God to break through. Some Sundays we'll be aware of it. For some of you, what happened during our worship was odd. For some of you, you've become used to it, but you're just not like, what's happening? That is God being present. What you were experiencing was the presence of God, the power of God. Some Sundays we were aware of it. Last Sunday, when the worship team came back on stage, I felt like they were just starting, you know? So some Sundays, this is so powerful and we're so aware of it. Some Sundays, we're just not aware of it. But it's okay, it's not us we're worshiping, so we will still worship passionately, but full of expectation. We will not lose the wonder of God. We readily expect God to move. If we trust Him for everything, it means we're expecting Him to move in everything, you know? If we trust Him for everything, we're expecting Him to move in miraculous ways. We're expecting Him to move in subtle ways. We're expecting Him to move in supernatural ways. We're expecting Him to move in natural ways. We're trusting God for everything. We're just, our eyes are wide open going, where is God moving now? Because that's where we want to be. Being a church of the kingdom of God means we are fully surrendered, and we can't do it without Him. But then how do people lose wonder? How do people stop expecting? How do people end up relegating their faith to a Sunday ritual? How do we get there? How do we lose hope? We become disappointed. Disappointment has a way of making us sick, cynical, and we lose hope. The wound of disappointment creates cynicism. After a while, we just stop expecting God to move because we expected Him, and for some reason, we think He didn't move. Because we prayed for someone, and they didn't get better. Because you've been praying for generations are a bit too long. You've been praying for years for something to happen, for a job, for marriage. You've been praying, and it's just not happening, and you're thinking, maybe it doesn't happen at all. Disappointment creates the wound of cynicism in our hearts. Just in case you do not understand what disappointment is, I'm going to explain it a different way. And as you know, we cannot go for a long season without a reference to the United Kingdom. So here it is. Disappointment is what Arsenal fans... what Arsenal fans feel most of the season. When they're such a big club, you see, they'll never get it. When they're such a big club and they've spent tons of money on players and managers, and then every year they go, this must be the year. This must be the year we get it. Well, we didn't get it. over and over again. Never won an English Premier League in 16 years. Never won the Champions League ever. This is what disappointment is. But unfortunately, sometimes believers let that fester. When we've prayed over and over again and we think, this must be the year this happens, and it doesn't happen. And then you think, well, maybe it's next year, and it doesn't happen. We let that wound create cynicism in us. So I want to tell you a story as I finish of a guy called Jacob, and he's a big deal in the story of Israel, and therefore the story through which we get the story of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he is so important that the whole nation is named after him. So he was called Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. And so there was a time he got the opportunity to stand before the most powerful person at that time, the most powerful king. Imagine what country you think is the most powerful, for whatever reason. Imagine getting the opportunity to stand before the leader of that country. This is exactly what Jacob had, the opportunity to stand before Pharaoh, who was the powerful, most powerful king at that time. So this is, I'm just going to read Genesis 47, 8 to 9. So he's standing before Pharaoh. If you get that opportunity, if you get the opportunity to stand before the president, I will have a lot to say. I hope I have a lot to say. So Jacob is before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old are you? And look at what Jacob says. The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil they have been, the days and years of my life. And they have not attained the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And he blesses Pharaoh and walks away. Wait! You just stood before the most powerful king, and all you had to say is, my life has been so bad. Wait! You just stood before the most powerful person, and all you had to do is whine. But I get it. I get it. He's disappointed. But wait a minute. Jacob was chosen over his brother, even though the blessing was his brother's birthright. So Jacob, is this all you have to say to Pharaoh? That you're disappointed? Jacob worked for 14 years being conned by his uncle. Yet even while he was working, God blessed him and he flourished and his flock grew. Everything he touched was blessed. Is this all you have to say before Pharaoh, Jacob? Jacob met God face to face and he didn't die, because newsflash, we still aren't in the right place to meet God face to face. Jacob met God face to face and he struggled with him, and God said, okay, I'm going to bless you because of this. And his name is changed, and this is all he has to say? Then Jacob meets his brother who's angry at him, who should kill him, and he forgives him. Is this all Jacob has to say? Jacob has had two wives, and then it was thought as a blessing. I'm not so sure right now, but he has two wives and several sons. And some of the promises that were made to his father and his grandfather are being fulfilled in his time. And is this all he has to say? That's all you have to say. For someone who has seen God move in your life, is that all you have to say? That you're disappointed? For a church that has seen God do beautiful things, what will we have to say? Someone might think, well, Jacob is just being honest. His life has been hard, and surely his life had been hard. And we're not a hype kind of church. We don't like saying things for what they're not. The problem with hype is it ignores everything else in life. It ignores that you're having a bad day. It ignores that you slept hungry yesterday. It ignores that you're struggling with that addiction and this addiction. That's hype. It's when you meet someone and all they say is, oh, John 3:16, the Lord is good, praise the Lord, and really they're not doing okay. That's hype, and we don't like that. It's probably why we rarely greet each other, praise the Lord, because it's become such a church language that someone is probably fighting with their husband, and they will just say, praise the Lord, amen, the Lord is good. But they're not doing good. That's hype. Hype ignores the not yet. Because the truth is, as much as the kingdom of God is present here now, we still long with yearning for when it will be completely fulfilled at the return of Jesus Christ. So there are things we struggle with. So one day we pray for someone and they get healed. The next day someone doesn't get healed. It breaks our heart, doesn't it? So one day we're walking into this and it's celebration and God is moving. And the next time we're broken. Actually, sometimes the now and the not yet exist together in one moment. Your celebration for what God is doing and your pain for what you're still hoping for can exist together in one moment. It's when you're looking forward to hear the Holy Spirit speak clearly to you, but He's using you to speak clearly to someone else, and you're thinking, God, but speak to me too. It's the now and the not yet existing all in the same moment. Hype ignores that. Hope, on the other end, expects, even to the last breath. Hope keeps expecting. I'm not better today, but I'll be better tomorrow. So it's not lying that you're okay. It's saying, hey, I'm not better today, but I know who God is. I'll be better tomorrow. I think I'll be better tomorrow. And keep hoping. It's hope decides to not lose the wonder of God. Hope decides to say, hey, I was chosen over my brother. So despite how hard my life has been, I am blessed. Hope decides to say, hey, I was much worse last week. I'm not completely fine, but I am blessed. Hope decides to expect. Hope focuses on the day we will say, oh God, you have healed us. And that could be tomorrow. That could be on His return. But we won't stop expecting. Hope longs for the day we'll say, oh God, you have set us free. Oh, how wonderful you have been. Hope keeps saying, oh, how wonderful your presence is. Hope keeps saying, oh, there is nothing you cannot do. We want to be a church that will choose hope over despair. I'm going to invite the band back on stage. To be a church of the kingdom of God is to be a church that will trust God for everything. And to trust God for everything, we'll have to always choose hope. The honest truth is, some of us sit here today and we are disappointed in God. But I just want to remind you that God responds to wonder. Don't lose your wonder. It is impossible to please God without faith. And faith is when we decide to step into that place of wonder, even though everything around us is saying, nah, that's not going to happen. Step into that place of expectation. So I want to invite you guys to affirm God's goodness. To affirm God's goodness. Even though the night is dark, to expect that morning will come. You know, some of you have never engaged in worship because you look at people going, wait, why is she crying? Why is he lifting up his hand? Why is he excited? Why? And you just think, this thing doesn't work. And so you disengage from worship. I invite you to step into that place and just try. Lean in again. Lean in again. As I was writing this, I felt like some of us are living off memories of our childhood. And so you're slowly beginning to walk away. Because life has treated you harshly. When you were younger, you were strong, you were passionate, you loved Jesus with everything, you expected anything. But life may have treated you harshly, and so you're walking away. You've seen some hard things, and you ask, where was God? And so you're just walking away. I feel that there are people walking, making a deliberate choice to walk away from faith. Yet, so it is very specific. It's not just anyone, well, it's everyone walking away from faith. But I feel like in that group, there are people who know what it is like to experience the Holy Spirit because they experienced Him when they were young. And so you have that memory. So God is inviting you back into that place to not lose wonder. So I dare you to try again. Why don't you try again? After all, what you've chosen has offered no hope anyway. So why don't you try again? So I want to invite you to stand. If the communion service could come up front. Communion service. So I want to invite you to respond to what God is doing here. So the Spirit of God is here, and I invite you to respond to Him. And I'm going to offer you three different ways of responding. One, the worship team is going to be on stage leading us in worship, and I invite you to engage passionately, engage with expectation. Let this be more than lyrics on a screen. Let this be a cry to God, I am here and you are here. I want you to meet me. Let this be a step into wonder. As we're worshiping in music, there will also be an opportunity for us to worship in giving. Giving is a form of worship. We're telling God that we trust you with our money. It's yours anyway. But if you're a guest here, this is our gift to you, and we don't expect you to give. But if you believe in what God is doing here and you call this a church home, I invite you to give through the brown box or via M-Pesa. The second way I want you to respond is through communion. This is how we remember Jesus dying for us. And the thing is, he's inviting us back to wonder. He's saying, hey, can you believe that I became man to embrace you again? So as you come through the center aisle, take the bread, dip it in the cup and eat it, and let it move you towards wonder. Let it move you towards God. Let it be a fresh commitment to saying, God, I want to trust you with everything, even where I have been disappointed. The third way I want you to respond is through prayer. So our prayer teams will be at the back. If you are in a place where you need someone to pray with you, we want to pray together. Specifically, if you're feeling like you're just cynical, if you're feeling like you're in a place where you've stopped trusting God and you want someone to pray with you through that, someone's going to pray with you at the back. But if you need healing, if you need anything, let us once more trust God and respond in wonder. So at any time you're ready, just come to the center aisle and have communion as well.